Hello, super smart entrepreneur. It's Tash Corbin here, and welcome to another episode of the Heart Centered Business Podcast. This is episode number 361, which means you can find all the relevant links and show notes for today's episode over at tashcorbin.com/361. In today's episode, I'm sharing with you copywriting tips for heart-centered entrepreneurs. So if you are struggling to write compelling content and great copy for your business, you want some tips and strategies to improve, this is going to be super helpful. Let's dive on in. I'm Tash Corbin, and this is the Heart-Centered Business Podcast. You may have noticed in the title of this podcast episode that I'm specifically talking about copywriting for heart-centered entrepreneurs. Why would I specifically talk about copywriting tips for those of us who would identify as heart-centered entrepreneurs? Because copywriting for heart-centered entrepreneurs is actually very different to some of the more traditional business copywriting you have seen in the past. Heart-centered entrepreneurs deeply care about consent-driven strategies. And so I'm not going to teach you copywriting tips that bypass people's consent, that use hypnosis or hypnotic words, that have manipulation or persuasion threaded through them, because people didn't consent to that. So I'm specifically talking about heart-centered entrepreneurs because I'm talking about copywriting that is deeply grounded in consent, copywriting that builds connection. Heart-centered entrepreneurs are not the kind of entrepreneurs that want to stay at arm's length from everyone in their audience and just treat everyone like a number. We actually want to connect with our audience. We want to build community. And so the copywriting tips and strategies I'm going to be giving are based on that assumption, that it's not about just churn and burn of your leads, 25% unsubscribe rate, and everyone's just a number to you. And then the final thing that I think separates heart-centered entrepreneur copy compared to traditional copy is that sense of care, that you actually care whether people get the results or not. You care if people are unsubscribing from your newsletter because it's making them feel really uncomfortable and low in confidence. You care about the impact you have with your copy online. You care that you're not over-promising and making promises you can't keep. You care that if you say it's a no questions asked money back guarantee, that it is actually no questions asked, and that you're open and transparent in the way that you speak about your business. So with all of those things in mind, these copywriting tips that I'm sharing with you may actually be a little different to what you may have heard in the past. I am not one to teach any form of trickery or manipulation or just overwhelming and pushing and spamming people, because I don't want to be treated that way. And I think it's really important that we have take full responsibility for our impact, not just our intention, and therefore apply consent-driven, heart-centered approaches to everything, including how we write copy. So tip number one for more effective copywriting is to be very clear and specific on your niche and have an understanding of who they are. So a niche is not the topic area that you focus on. Your niche is not your modality. Your niche is who you are focused on when you write. And in particular, when you write marketing copy for your business. So whether that be content, if you've got a content marketing approach, emails for an email marketing approach, whether that be copy for sales pages or launches, we want to be really clear on who this is focused on, who this is for. Because the more specifically we are niched in who this is for, the more tangible and effective and resonant our copy can be for that niche. So if you are still having niche resistance, you're still a bit wobbly around what your niche might be, I highly recommend that you take some time to get quite tangible and specific about your niche, not just demographics though. Like, it doesn't have to be, you know, likes walks along the beach and buys Lululemon and da-da. Like, it's not all that stuff. I don't care how many kids they have unless that's relevant to your work, right? I don't care whether they're a parent or not unless that's relevant to your work and your marketing. What we want to make sure is that we're clear on who is this person that you are focusing your marketing and writing towards, and what is their priority goal that they want to achieve, and why do they think that they can't achieve it? That is a mix of demographics, sensographics, and psychographics. That's what we're looking for when it comes to niching. Number two is understanding that your copy will be different depending on what platform it's on or what audience you're showing it to, right? So the way that I write for social media, where it is social, i.e. friendly, conversational, right? I'm not going to write ad spec copy for social media. I'm mindful when I'm writing copy, what mode are people in when they're reading this? So for my audience, they're in scrolling and probably like looking for opportunities for their business mode when they're on socials. So I write in a really social, conversational way, and I focus on good uses of their time on social media, great opportunities. So my copy needs to be written differently when I'm speaking to my social media audience compared to the writing I do in a follow-up to a training that I've completed, right? So if people have opted into doing a webinar or a workshop with me and they've just learned a bunch of stuff from me, well, the copy that I write for that audience is going to be far more focused on warm audience language, far more focused on that key messaging around value proposition, and it will be a little more formal in its tone as well. Because when people are reading emails from me, they're in learning / CEO mode. So I want to be speaking in that tone, and so my copy in that instance is going to be slightly different. Similarly, people ask me all the time, like, is this a good way to explain what I do? And I say, well, who are you telling it to? Because the way I explain my business to my Uber driver or someone that I met at the fish and chip shop is going to be different to the way that I explain my business to someone I met at a networking event for women in business, versus it's going to be different to the way that I explain myself on my webinar about launching, right? I'm not going to talk about my focus on startup, lean startup, when I'm running a webinar for more advanced entrepreneurs. I'm not going to focus on my expertise in launching when I'm working with people in startup. So I'm very mindful of who am I speaking to whom here and about what, so that when I'm writing my copy, I can be nice and specific. So think about what platform or audience is this copy for, and stop looking for copy that works on every platform. Because the more that you do that, the less it works on any of the platforms that you're sharing it on. Number three is to ensure you have consistency and clarity in your core message. And the way that I recommend doing that is actually crafting a core message document. So I have a core message document for my business, and then I also have a core message document for each of my programs, for the Takeoff program, for Leverage and Launch, because they have slightly different niches. They have slightly different key messages that I'm focused on. People are a little bit further along in their journey in one over the other. And so I have the whole of business core message, and then I have core message that I really need to focus on when I am promoting or attracting leads for one program over the other. So a messaging document includes things like, what is the niche? What is the value proposition of this thing? How does your audience describe the problem versus what you know the problem is? I also have in there like keywords and phrases that I want to SEO for. What are people Googling in this space? What would be my terminology and phraseology that I would use to explain things in this area? So what are the models I use? I also put in my core messaging document. So you may have seen, I do this when I say, what is it? Making a form of triangle with my hands for those listening on audio only. So my pyramid model is something that I consistently share, regardless of whether I'm promoting something in early stages or advanced stages, because making sure you got solid foundations is something that is fundamental to everything that I do. And so that model is in my core messaging document. So if you do not have a core messaging document and you would like to create one, I've got a beautiful template for you that goes with this episode of the podcast. So be sure to go to tashcorbin.com/361. We'll have the link there for you to go and grab the core messaging document, and it's got an accompanying video training as well to help you make sure your core message is there. When you then go to write content with that core message in front of you, it's far easier for you to stay focused and strategic in the way way that you phrase things in the areas that you're focused on. This is something that we do in both the Takeoff Program and Leverage and Launch. And it's one of those things where people come back after they've done their core message document and go, oh my goodness, social media posts are so much easier now. I have 1,000 ideas for podcast episodes. I was struggling before, because it allows you to break that core message down into tangible key messages, practical examples, and things that you'll actually use in your copy. All right, number four is to be curious about your audience. The best copy I write comes from responding to my audience. And I know what they want from me because I ask them consistently. So the more you ask questions of your audience, whether that be in a one-to-many way, like asking questions on socials, asking questions out on emails, asking questions on when you're running webinars, right? So asking your audience questions sort of in a broadcast way, or whether it be one-to-one. So every single lead that I have for the Takeoff Program, for example, I'm asking them questions about, okay, where are you at in your business? What have you tried so far? That information is really helpful for me making sure my copy is effective for other people as well. Because if they're a hot lead for the Takeoff Program and these are the questions they're asking, then my other hot leads for the Takeoff Program who don't think to ask me directly will actually be drawn in and be able to hear the answer to that question if I take that and turn that into content. So be very curious about your audience. Sometimes we think that in order to be of service to our audience and add value for our audience, we need to be expert only mode. And we don't ask our audience questions because we know what they need. We know what's good for them. Just shut up and listen to me, right? It's that almost that sense of I'm up above you and I know what's going on and you're down below, so therefore I have the right to be a guru or be a teacher or to share my advice with you. But what that can sometimes lead to is this sense that, well, I can't ask my audience questions, or I'm not at all curious about what my audience thinks the problem is because I know what's good for them and I know what they need. And what we end up doing is being almost like ships passing in the night with our audience because we haven't been curious about how they describe the problem. We haven't been curious about what they think is going to help them move forward. We're just yelling at them that they're wrong and what they should be focused on. And that doesn't magnetize ideal clients, it actually pushes them away. So tip number four for great copy is to be curious consistently about what your audience wants, what they're aiming for, what their challenges are. Ask lots and lots of questions from lots and lots of different angles, because that will really help you to accelerate your copywriting skills and the effectiveness of your copywriting as well. And then tip number five, which is related, is to be observant and listen to the answers. Another thing I see quite a lot of at the moment is people asking questions on social media, but then not paying attention to the answer or not responding back to the answers that we are giving. And I just feel like that was really like powerful insight, but I think that they just asked because they wanted the comments, right? A lot of times we are trained that we should be like fishing with a PH for engagement on social media. And so it's almost like we just want engagement for engagement's sake. So we ask a bunch of questions and people answer. It's like, yeah, great, got 25 comments. But people aren't actually being observant of what those things are telling them. And sometimes it's about being observant about what your audience is telling you, but also what they're not telling you. So, or what your audience is wanting from you and what your audience is not wanting from you. So one of the things that I do whenever I promote a new free webinar or workshop is I promote it to my mailing list and my hottest audience organically on social first, to see how many people are interested in it and sign up in that first few days. That number will tell me how good that webinar topic is for my audience, right? I can be very observant of what is it that my audience wants just by looking for what those numbers tell me. So when I first started my business, I was very observant about what got people engaging on my Facebook page and what got me lots of reach. And one of the things that did not get a lot of reach was where I shared inspirational quotes and pretty pictures. So my audience wasn't interested in inspiration from me. They were interested in step-by-step strategy, step-by-step practical advice. And so by being observant about what people were engaging with and what got the most reach, I was able to change my copywriting approach to be less inspo and more instruction. So by that being observant, you will see what it is that your audience loves, what your copy needs to look like, what your copy needs to address and say in order for it to be of value and engaging for your audience. So tip number 5 is don't just be curious and ask questions, but also be observant and look at what the answers are, what the numbers are telling you, what is getting lots and lots of engagement and what is getting nothing. What is it that your audience is trying to tell you with the way that they are not engaging with your content as well? Tip number 6 is to find your voice. And when I say that, I mean, it sounds a bit like up in the air and a bit theoretical, but it's really about finding the way that you express what you need to say, especially finding your conversational voice. For a lot of us, our copywriting is not conversational because any writing we've had to do in our past has been very formal. Right? It's been super formal. We've either worked in corporate, so we're writing quite formally. We've done university or education, you know, in studies, we have to do reports or we have to do essays. Everything's very, very formal. And it can be a struggle to type in a conversational way. That takes practice. I think for a lot of people, we see old school copywriting practices on social media and think that that's what we need to do to be successful. For example, you might see ads being written in very adsy formal language and you think, oh, well, when I write promos, that's how I have to write them because that's the way they're written on social media. But here's the thing. A lot of the ads that you see on social media, you don't realize they were ads because they were written so beautifully conversationally. So the copy that you recognize as ad copy is the exact copy that tells you this is an ad. And out of the types of content that we see on social media, which are we most likely to scroll past? It's the stuff that screams at me, I'm an ad, right? Just like we train ourselves to tune out commercials on television, we train ourselves to tune out ads on social media. So the more that your copy looks like ads, the more that your copy stands out as formal, the more likely we're going to think that's an ad and scroll on past. So rather than using those old marketing tricks and old ways of thinking about how we structure formal copy to be persuasive and blah, 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 instead practice finding your conversational written voice in particular. And the way that I did that was to do a lot of video content and to do a lot of live content. The more I showed up and ran webinars live, did Facebook lives, did video content, podcast episodes, those sorts of things, the more I was able to then imagine myself doing those things in my head as I was writing. So I'd get out of formal writing mode by finding what my voice is and how I express things and how conversational my language becomes. So it takes practice, but I really do recommend having that focus on, okay, how do I show up and speak conversationally? Not how do I copy someone else's 6-part offer structure to write an ad for my offer? Because that is going to do the exact opposite of what you actually need it to do. All right, number 7 is to understand what are some good, simple, and basic structures for your copywriting as well. So we don't want to have those old tricks and formal structures, and you must have captivating question with a capital on every word. Right? Those things look like ads. So we don't want to fall into the trap of thinking more structure to our writing means more effective, because in most cases, that's not true. We just need a basic structure or a little bit of structure or a little bit of a guideline on what goes where, but very loose and very simple. So, for example, I have a very simple and basic structure to my email that I send out to my mailing list every week. It starts with a very conversational introduction, a love note from me, a current selfie. Then it has this week's podcast episode and what it's about and why you should listen. And then it has an offer of some sort. And that offer is presented in probably the most formal way of all of my channels, because it's the ad space in that newsletter. My posts that I do on social media, when I do promos, let's say I'm launching the Takeoff program. Well, every few days in that launch, I'm going to have promo posts about that Takeoff program. I have one that's a personal touch story. I have one that's frequently asked questions. I have one that's more formal. I have one that talks about return on investment. I have one that's very conversational about my experience starting a business. I have one that's ranty about me talking about why so many courses aren't suitable for people who are starting an online business, right? So I've got those simple basic structures to make sure I'm hitting the right angles across that launch with the different pieces of copy that I write. So having some simple basic structures really helps to ensure your copywriting is effective. One great structural thing that I applied from the very start of my business, I can't even remember where I heard it, was that before you tell someone how to do something, make sure that you're on the same page about why it's important they do. So for example, how to get more organic reach on Facebook. Well, before I tell you how to get more organic reach on Facebook, I'm going to be sure to tell you, even if it's just quickly, why would you want that? Well, we want more organic reach on Facebook because it makes your ads cheaper. It creates that proof of concept for your messaging, right? So I could give a couple of key reasons. Well, here's why we want to prioritize making that happen. Okay, now here's how to do it. And even to this day, even off the cuff content that I share, videos that I do live, podcast episodes, you will often hear me, before I tell you how to do something, I'll tell you why it's important to do that. That little basic structure is something that I picked up. It's almost a habit now, and it's very, very good at ensuring my copy does its job. And my copy actually gives people the value up front of why they should be listening along further. All right, and then the final one is practice, practice, practice. When it comes to writing copy, just remember, copy will be something you will always need to do in your business moving forward. Forevermore. You will always either need to update sales pages, reschedule emails, right? You'll need to write things. Yes, you can have copywriters in your team, especially if you have a giant business down the track, but that will never, ever, ever get you out of having to write copy yourself, because you are the voice of your brand. You are the one who's best equipped to quickly understand who your audience is, what they're looking for, what messaging will be resonant, and get that copy created. And you will often still be the core content creator. You're still running the podcast each week, or you're still showing up and being the talent in your business. All of that requires copy. And so rather than being like, oh, when is the copywriting done, and being frustrated that it's never done, just acknowledge and accept you're going to need to write copy for your business pretty much forever. So how can you get better at it and build those skills? And how can you see every time you write something, this is a practice for next time? So every time you write an email sequence, that's a good practice for the next email sequence that you write. Every time you write a promo post for a social media platform, that's great practice for next time. You'll be able to refine based on what the feedback is, what the engagement is, how well it works, what patterns you're seeing over time, and you'll get better and better and better at writing great copy for your business, which in turn creates more engagement, creates more reach, creates more results, right? There's just so many great benefits to being good at writing at least basic copy for your audience. All right, they are my 8 tips to write better copy as a heart-centered entrepreneur. As I mentioned with one of them, I do recommend that you have a core messaging document. So a quick reminder to go and grab the template over at tashcorbin.com/361. And you can create that template you can have that messaging document for your business overall, as well as one for each of your products or offers, which really keeps that copy really tight and value-driven. As you go and create all the different pieces of copy that you need from there. Thank you so much for joining me for this episode of the Heart Center Business Podcast. And until next time, I cannot wait to see you shine. Bye for now. Would you like more tips, tools, and resources to help you grow your heart-centered business? Head to tashcorbin.com today.